Thank you for listening today to our podcast here at Word of Life. We're delighted that you tuned in, and I pray that while you hear us talk, you hear the Holy Spirit speak. I know God's got a big plan for you. We're excited to be a part of that plan. Hopefully, we will see you sometime soon, maybe even this weekend. Until then, we pray you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Open up your Bibles with me to the book of John. We're going to look at John chapter 15, verse number 1. We'll be in there just for a couple of minutes, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 17, verse number 14. How many of you know God's word is life? It's the truth that sets us free. This word, if you'll believe in it and dive into it, it can make you free. It can make you as free as God intended you to be. And so what we want is for the Holy Spirit to make this a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Well, this is not just a message, but God speaking to you, amen? Will you be in faith with me for that? That while we're just sitting here talking, God will speak to your heart, amen? While you're turning to John chapter 15, I want to make you mindful of Wednesday night. It's First Wednesday. And if you like that, we're going to have that in spades on First Wednesday. I can't wait. So with that, it's a praise and worship service. We're just going to ring in this new year, January 3rd at Wednesday, 7 o'clock, with just worship and prayer and praise. You don't want to miss it. That's this Wednesday, 7 o'clock. Bring a friend or two. Come on and have church with us. John chapter 15, verse number 1. Jesus is talking here. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me, this ought to make us pay attention. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it or cuts it, that it may bear even more fruit. So he says here, three people are listed in this parable, if you will, Jesus using an illustration. He says, you've got Jesus, he's the vine. You've got you're the branch that's off the vine. And then you've got the Father, he's the gardener. He's the one who makes sure that the branch and the vine are producing fruit. And he says, in all of our lives, God wants your life to produce fruit. I don't know about you, but in 2018, I am honestly planning on producing more fruit in my life, in my ministry, in my family, than ever before. Now, here's how Jesus says God produces fruit. That before your life, my ministry, your business, my business, before God can make it produce fruit, he does something first. He prunes it. He cuts something away. So he says, before I can add anything to, I have to cut something from. And so in all of our lives, if you've walked with God, and if you haven't started that walk, I encourage you, come on and join us. It's a lot of fun. But with this, in your walk with God, God is going to deal with your heart about cutting something back or cutting something off. Now, sometimes it's both. Sometimes in seasons of my life, God's been dealing with me about cutting something back. Like I've been giving too much of my time to something, too much of my attention to something. Is there anything in your life you've been giving too much attention to? Too much time to, that maybe the Father's just been dealing with your heart about, hey, I need you to cut that back. See, the reason why he's talking to you about cutting that back, it's not because of that thing, it's because of the fruit. The fruit can't be produced as long as that thing has that much of your life. Does that make sense? And so he cuts that back so that you can produce even more fruit. Maybe he's got something like that in your life. You've been giving this too much time. This thing has too much of your attention. You could put it this way. This thing has too much of your affection. Yeah, I watch what I get excited about. Anything I get too excited about immediately begins to alarm me. Because it's like, is it getting at a place where it has too much preeminence in my life? See, Jesus says that the Father will cut something back so that more fruit can be produced. Is there anything in your life that needs to be cut back? Sometimes, though, it's not just cutting it back. Sometimes it's cutting it off. It's not just cutting it back. It's like, this no longer needs to be in my life, period. This attitude, this unforgiveness, this addiction, this habit, like it doesn't need to be in my life, period. It's unhealthy and it's not, well, too much of a good thing turning into a bad thing. It's like, no, it's just a bad thing, period. Like I don't need it in my life. And the reason why God would deal with your heart about cutting that off is because as long as it's there, there are things he wants to do for you that he can't. There are miracles he wants you to see that you will not see until that thing is cut. Jesus says, here's how this works. I'm the vine. It's your job to stay connected to me. In my relationship with you, I will deal with your heart about cutting something back. And if you will allow the Father to cut it back and to cut it off, you can produce fruit. But if you aren't willing to have it cut off, if you're not willing to have it cut back, you run the risk of being cut off. And with this, friend, I'm telling you, in your life, God wants to do some amazing things, but he can't as long as we're resisting the cut, as long as we're resisting the change. So it's my job as a pastor to constantly deal with your heart about some of these things, where God has the liberty and the right, if you will, as being your Lord. How many of you know he's not just your Savior? If you're a Christian, he's not just your Savior. He's your Lord. There's a difference. See, a Savior saves you from sin. Lord is master. Lord is owner. And with that, I am his and he is mine. He is mine, he is my Savior, but I am his, he is my Lord. And as my Lord, he has the right to deal with me about anything in my life. And my willingness to have him deal with my heart about those things has everything to do with whether or not he'll be able to produce the fruit he wants to produce in my life and yours. So here's my question. What do you want God, or what has, if you will, God been dealing with your heart about? What has God been dealing with your heart to cut back or to cut off? This is the last day in 2017. Tomorrow is a brand new year, 2018. Let me ask you a question. What do you need to leave in 2017? What do you need to leave in 2017? Like this just, it doesn't need to stay. It doesn't need to stay with me. Like this needs to be cut. This needs to be cut off or it needs to be cut back. Now here's what I know. I know that every single one of you in this room, you have something like that in your heart. Everybody in this room. If you're honest with yourself, God has been dealing with your heart to cut something back or cut something off. If he hasn't, it means that you might not be as connected to him spiritually as needed, because Jesus said, when you're connected to me, you're going to get pruned. It's not if, it's when. You are going to constantly get pruned. And I have been walking with the Lord for many years, and every single year, he constantly refines my life, refines my marriage, refines my walk with him. It's never stagnant. There's always something he's bringing to my attention. So what is he bringing to yours? Here's what I also know. As a human who's desiring to walk with God, but also as a pastor who tries to help people walk with God, change, cutting things off, cutting things back can be hard. It can be very frustrating. Some of you, you've wrestled with things in your own life. It's been very frustrating. And you're wondering, why is this thing not changing? Like, why is this thing about me? Why is this thing in my life? Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's something financially. Maybe it's something even in your health. It's like, man, I want this to change. Like, I want this to change. Why is this not changing? Changing can be very frustrating, and also not changing can be very shameful. That people rest with a lot of shame because it's like, why haven't I changed yet? Like, I am still wrestling with this. And like, why is this not being fixed in my life? And it produces a lot of shame. So this message is not like tailored to like, hey, you know you need to make some cuts, so make those cuts. My experience is no, we all know. The question is how? Like, I know I need to change. But how do I change? Because I've been trying to change this for a long time, but my New Year's resolutions for 2018 look oddly similar to my New Year's resolutions for 2014. It's like, you know, why am I not seeing like progress, change being made in these areas? So I'm gonna help you. And as I woke up this week, I was praying a lot about this message. And I woke up one morning with this story in Matthew chapter 17 in my heart. And as I began to read it, the Lord showed me some principles in it I think will help us, and we'll do it real simply. But let's go over there and look at it in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 14. Matthew 17 and verse number 14. In Matthew 17, there's a man who has a situation in his life that he has tried to change for years and failed miserably at it. So he wanted to see change, but couldn't see any. And finally, he's fed up with it and decides today is the day that it will change. And thank God by the end of it, it did. But there's some tips here on how to change. Matthew 17, verse 14. And when they came to a multitude, a man came up to him, falling on his knees before him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic, and he's very ill. For often he falls into the fire and into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. He couldn't change. And Jesus answered and said, Oh, unbelieving and perverted generation. That was nice. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? Notice their question. Why couldn't we change it? Why couldn't we fix it? And he said to them, it's because of the littleness, I'm reading out of the New American Standard, because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, if you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing will be impossible to you, but, King James says, I believe, howbeit, this kind does not go out except, look at this, by prayer and fasting. This kind doesn't come out except by prayer or fasting. This doesn't change without prayer and fasting. Interesting. Now, with this, we see some neat things here. I see a lot of tips. One is very obvious that we just read at the end there as a huge tip to change. But I'm going to give you three simple things that I think if you really pay attention and you follow through on these three things, you can see your life actually begin to change no matter what the change may be. Number one, point number one. I'll put it up on the screens. He decided it must change today. This man was not going home without a miracle. He had tried to change it. It didn't change. He brought him to the disciples. They couldn't change it. It didn't change. He still didn't give up. He's like, I will not quit until this thing changes. Bring him to Jesus. I don't care if I have to fall down on his knees in worship. This thing is going to change now. It will change today. In the Old Testament, there's this story of the children of Israel. It's one of my favorite stories and examples in all of Scripture. And you know the story. They were in Egyptian bondage for all these years, and there was this guy by the name of Pharaoh who was holding them in bondage. And with this, Moses, God raised him up, and Moses comes into Pharaoh's court, and he says, God says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, and they stay in bondage. And so God sends 10 plagues into the nation of Israel, or into the nation of Egypt. And these 10 plagues are designed to soften Pharaoh's heart, to get him to just say, hey, it's not worth it. I'm going to let these people go. So the first plague was where the Nile River turned into blood. Now, me and a theologian say it wasn't that it actually turned into blood, but it was deadly. So nothing in it could live, meaning all the fish and all the animals, everything in it died. And with it, it was just poisonous. And so no one could drink from it. Bad when that's your life-giving water source. And so with that, the Nile turns into blood. It's deadly. No one can drink of it. Still, Pharaoh's heart is not sensitive. It's still hardened. And so the second plague comes. And the second plague, it doesn't sound near as bad as the first one to me. Maybe it's just me, but it's like, that sounds really nasty. And also life-threatening with the Nile turning into blood. But the second one just seems like a major inconvenience. But the second plague is this. Frogs come into the land. Frogs. Can you imagine like the humor God with his angels? Like, what are we going to do next? Like, hit him with lightning? And God is like, no, frog him. And so with this, it's like all these frogs come up and it is frogs everywhere. Like literally the Bible says they'd wake up with frogs on their chest. Can you imagine? Like you wake up and there's a big toad just sitting on your chest, and they'd open up their closets and frogs would jump out. They'd open up their ovens and there'd be frogs all in the ovens. It was in the palace, everywhere. And where the first plague did not get Pharaoh's attention, the second plague, he is ready to give up. So he calls Moses into his court. And watch what happens here in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 8 and verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people. And I will let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. It's like, I'm done. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, glory over me. When shall I entreat? So he's saying, you tell me, like, when do you want me to pray? When do you want me to pray for you and for your servants and for your people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy house, that they may remain in the river only? Now, what's the right answer to this question? Right now, like, let's touch and agree now for these frogs to get out of this nation. You know what Pharaoh says? Watch what he says in verse number 10. And he said, tomorrow. I have no idea why it's space there, but it's space. He says, tomorrow. And he said, be it unto me according to your word, that thou mayest know us that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Tomorrow? Like, your answer is, I'll spend one more night with the frogs? Like, one more night in this dysfunction? One more night in this? Like, why would you want to spend one more night with the frogs? Let's pray now. And you know what happens? He spends one more night with them. He waits till tomorrow and never changes. God has to send 8 more plagues. And finally, after that last plague, he lets the people go. And even then, he didn't change. Even then, he's trying to go out and hunt them in the wilderness to bring them back into Egypt. And they all get swallowed up when the Red Sea splits back. This guy never learned his lesson. And the reason why is he constantly said, I'll change when? Tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll change. Just one more night. Just one more. And it's like, why wouldn't you do it like now? He said, tomorrow I will change. You know the devil has a favorite word? The devil's favorite word is tomorrow. Do you know God has a favorite word? God's favorite word is today. Today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't take any thought for tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. What are you doing today? Today, today, today. McDonald's a couple of years ago made a decision to put healthy menu items on their menu. And they thought, you know, consumers will love these new salads. And so with this, they put these healthy menu options. This is true. Put it on their menu. You know what happened to sales? All the unhealthy foods went up. More people started buying Big Macs after they put the healthy stuff on the menu. And so they were shocked, like shocked. It's like, we were expecting sales to go up, but not like the unhealthy stuff. Like, we were expecting that to kind of go down and, you know, the grilled chicken like to go up. They were shocked. So they brought in researchers to find out why. You know what they found out? They found out that McDonald's, like most businesses, operates by the 80-20 rule. That means 20% of your customers are doing 80% of the business there. They make up 80% of your revenue, 80% of your profit is found by 20% of your customers. Here's what that means, the 80-20 rule, is that some of you may eat at McDonald's once or twice a week. There are other people who eat at McDonald's 5 to 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a week. And with that, they make up more of McDonald's revenues and more of McDonald's profits than any other segment. And they found that these particular people, when they came to McDonald's and saw the healthy options, in their mind, here's what they thought. Okay, we got salads now. I can eat healthy at McDonald's. You know what I'll do? I'll eat healthy tomorrow. Tomorrow I will eat healthy because I come here every day. And with this, so today I'll get the chicken nuggets, and today I'll get the quarter pounder, and today I'll get the egg McMuffin with syrup on it, syrup in it. They'll stuff it with syrup for me. Like, oh, I'll get all that, but I'll get the salad sure enough tomorrow. You know what they do? Tomorrow never comes. Just like for Pharaoh, it never comes. And they keep getting the other things. Now here's the point. It's the same way with each and every one of us. Tomorrow never comes. And this is a big part of people's problem. I'll do it after New Year's. Well, wait, New Year's? There's football on New Year's. Can't do it then. We'll do it the next day. Well, it's kind of close to the weekend. We'll wait until after the weekend. It's like, well, Valentine's Day is here, and I need a new dress. And with that, we're going to eat dessert on that night anyway. So I'll do, and we keep putting it off and putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. No, God's key word for change is now, today. Now's the time of salvation. Today is the day. So here's the key. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Here's my last point with this. I'll move on. If all your tomorrows look like today, how healthy, wise, successful, and spiritually sensitive would you be? Could I take those same patterns today, and if I did those patterns every single day for the rest of my life, would I be healthy? If I took those patterns today and did those every single day of my life, would I be wise? If I took those patterns and I did those patterns I have today every single day of my life, would I be spiritually sensitive? Would I be successful? And the answer is no, then that means I need to change something today, because here's the point, and here's reality. Your tomorrow will look just like your today. It will look just like your today. So the only way to change tomorrow is not wait till tomorrow, it's to what? Change now. Change today. This guy made up his mind, today I am going home with a miracle. Two, point number two, they tried to fix it themselves. There's a whole bunch of stuff I'd like to take you to here, but I want to run out of time. I want to respect your time. Even though you don't have a service after, yes, you want to be respectful of your time. They tried to fix it themselves, which is a big point, because here's what a lot of even only spiritual people think, that God will just jump in and fix it. That if God wants it fixed, he'll just fix it. If God wants my situation to change, he'll just jump in and he'll fix it. If God wants to turn it around, he's sovereign, he'll just jump in and turn it around. And Jesus flips that entire doctrine on its head with this, with these verses. It flips the whole thing on its head. Number one, Jesus did not knock on this guy's door and say, hey, I heard you had an issue with your son, and I'm here to fix it. This guy brought his son to Jesus. Jesus didn't tell his disciples, hey, here's why you couldn't fix it. I'm kind of the Son of God. I'm kind of a big deal. Only I can do stuff like that. He said, nope, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it right. If you would use your faith, you would see results. But he said, even with that, this kind does not come out. This will not change apart from prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting are important spiritual disciplines. And if you're not a Christian today, you can kind of tune this out. My goal is to turn you into a Christian later at the end of this service. But if you are a God follower today, a Christ follower, a Christian, did you know that fasting is not optional? It's not like, well, when I get around to it. No. As a Christian, you are called by God to fast. In the book of Matthew, he goes over three spiritual disciplines that are to shape your life and mine. As Christians, he says in Matthew chapter 6, three things we're supposed to do. Those three things are give, pray, and fast. He said, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast, and then tells us how to do those three things. Not if, when. Now, fasting is very, 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 very important for a whole bunch of spiritual reasons, but there are some natural reasons as to why it's important too. In fact, I was just reading an article just the other day that talks about a big way that a lot of people are like getting healthier is by fasting 12 hours a day. They eat for 12 hours and then fast the rest of the 12. They pick a bracket. And even with that, they go into the science of how that fast tricks the body into using fat for energy and all these other things. Fasting has so many health benefits, it is absolutely ridiculous. In the natural, there are some things physically for your health that fasting can be very beneficial for. But there's also something when it comes to the physical aspect of things where fasting is huge. And here's what it is. I was doing this study on willpower this week because, once again, my job is to teach you how to change and make your life better. And I found through this study that willpower is different than how I thought of it. I just thought you had some people, like, they got so much willpower. Like, they got more willpower than me. And what I found out is that willpower has some things to it. Here's some facts about willpower. Nope. Yep. Number one, willpower is like a muscle. It can be exhausted. I don't know if any of you lift weights, but have you ever like, I'm going to do three sets of eight, and you get up there and you're doing those three sets of eight, and the first set of eight, it was great. You were flying along. It was smooth gravy. You're good. But by that third set, those last couple of reps, it's like, how am I not able to do this? I was able to do it so easily. It's because your muscles, your physical muscles, can get exhausted. Willpower is like a muscle. You can wear it out. Which leads me to my next point. You have more willpower in the a.m. than you do the p.m. And the reason why you have more willpower in the day than you do the night typically is because during the day you're using it on so many other things that by the time you get to night, you don't have as much of it as you had before. And then thirdly, when you use it on one thing, you typically lose it on another. They did this study with like a lot of people who I could say their names now and you would know immediately who I was talking about, but I don't believe in throwing people's sin out there. But it used the name of like all these athletes and preachers even. who from the outside, they look so disciplined. But then you see another area of their life that all of a sudden was private but now became public. And it's like, they're so undisciplined. It's like, how could someone who's so disciplined be so undisciplined? And what they said is, that's precisely why. They're so disciplined with one thing that they don't have discipline with another, because they're using all their willpower on this and none of it on this. It said, here's something interesting. I love this quote. Next quote was very, very good. It said, when you feel like a saint, the idea of self-indulgence doesn't feel wrong. It actually feels right. So here, I saved money. I didn't buy that dress. Let me reward myself by eating this ice cream. It's like, right? It's like, I mean, it's all the time. It's like, I was so disciplined there. Let me be so undisciplined here. Like, we reward discipline with being undisciplined. And it's not just because that like makes sense. No, it makes no sense. It's like, keep the roll going, man. Like, you were disciplined, be disciplined. But literally, it's because willpower is like a muscle, and if you use it on this one thing, you don't have enough of it to use it on this. So this is why, even with setting goals, like, don't set 15. Set something that's within your range of actual change. But here's something that I thought was very, very interesting. They said that willpower, like muscles, can grow. This is huge. Can grow. There are some people, you see them in the gym, it's like, dear me, they got so many muscles. Do I even have that there? It's like you're wondering, like, hey, do I have that there? It's the answer. Yes, you have it. You have it. It's just not near as developed because it hasn't been worked out like they have worked it out. And the same thing is true with willpower. All of us in this room have willpower. The question is how much have you worked it out? So here's what they said, is that to grow your willpower, because your willpower needs a workout, you need to pick some things that you will do, that's willpower, and you also need some won't power, some things I will not do. He said, now, if you're going to get a willpower workout, just pick some things. I will, and then you fill in the blank. I will go to church this Sunday, even when it's raining. They tell me the roads are going to freeze. I am going to church. You practice willpower. I won't look at that. And when I say I won't. I'm not opening that app. That app has consumed me way too much. I'm going to go 3 days. I'm not even going to open it. I'm going to turn on my phone from 7 to when I wake up the next morning. I'm not going to check any messages. And you stick to it. I'm not going to sit here and watch this for 2 hours. And you don't. Every time you follow through, they said, your willpower gets stronger. Your willpower gets more able to handle more things, to not get as exhausted as quick. We're just like weights before. You couldn't lift that to save your life. Now it's like the one thing that was so heavy is now so easy because your muscles have grown. The same thing is true with willpower. Willpower is like a muscle. He said, you want to test your willpower? Find something that's strong in your life and try to say no to it. That'll tell you how big your willpower muscle is. Find something in your life that has control over you and walk away from it. That'll tell you how strong your willpower muscle is. Now, here's why fasting can be so important. Fasting is the best willpower workout. Because with fasting, it doesn't mean not to eat. Fasting means to abstain. It's saying, nope, I'm not watching it. Nope, I'm not eating it. Nope, I'm not going there. And you know what your flesh is doing? It is screaming at you. And you are telling it no. And Jesus said, there are some things in your life that won't be fixed until you do that. That this will not change until you do that. Because you know why? If I can't say no to the little stuff, how can I say no to the big stuff? If I can't say yes to the little stuff, how can I say yes to the big stuff? In our Christian walk, our no means no. When I say I'm not, my word is my bond. I'm not. And when I say I will, my word is my bond, it means I will follow through. In healing school, I'll never forget this, years ago, I was in a place called Healing School. The Bible school I went to had kind of like an extracurricular class called Healing School. And we were in there, and this guy was coming in. He had seen a lot of miracles in his life and seen a lot of things kind of be done by the power of God. And anyway, while he was there, we saw it too. So it wasn't just like random stuff. It was our reports from another distant land, but it was right there in front of us. And he's talking about how to see the miraculous. And he said, when you study the life of Jesus, and you'll see this to be true, he could tell sickness no and it listened. He could rebuke a fever and it would leave. He could talk to a storm and it would obey him. He could say yes and the whole world would line up with that yes. And he could say no, you will not be blind, and blindness would leave. His yes was powerful, and so was his no. He said, did you know how Jesus started? God didn't have him start, well, let's just work on the flu. And once you master telling the flu no, then let's move over to cancer. No, he didn't start him with that. You know what he started him with? Why don't you tell food no for 40 days? Before he did anything. Why don't you come over this wilderness and not eat for 40 days? And then after that, how about you be tempted on multiple different occasions where the only person who knows if you said yes or no is you and the devil? And when he said no to all those things, his no meant no. His yes meant yes. Then he stood up and told blind people, nope, you're not going to be blind. Isn't that something? No should mean no. Yes should mean yes. Our word is our bond. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to grow your no. I want you to grow your no. Regularly in your life, I want you to find something that has been whipping you, putting you under its thumb, and I want you to say no. These people went as far as in these books, it says, if you often cross your legs, just say, no, I'm not crossing my legs. Just constantly trick your body into, no, body, I will not fall into any routine you tell me to fall into. I am your master. This is what Paul was saying. I put my body under. I bring it into subjection, lest by all means I should be a castaway. He says, I'm not going that direction. How, Paul? I'm putting my body under. I'm telling it no. Brings me to my third point. Point number three. I'll close with this one. They use spiritual authority. Now, friend, you need to have an urgency in your heart. Today I will change. You need to put your body under. You need to, as much as you can, fast. I'm not just talking about giving up food. I'm talking about anything in your life that's gotten out of control, you pull back from it. But thirdly, you got to understand that temptation and any type of bondage that enters in your life, it's not just physical, it's spiritual. And you can't deal with a spiritual attack through a physical force. Spiritual attacks can only be dealt with spiritual forces. And with this, I'm a big believer in reading. I'm a big believer in life skills. Like, I love all the random McDonald's facts about why people are ordering more Big Macs than salads, even when salads are on the menu now. Like, that stuff, man, it excites me. And I'm all about that kind of stuff. But here's what I also know. That temptation is deeper than just a menu. You got an enemy out there who wants to steal, kill, and destroy. In the beginning of time, he's been tempting man. And when God says resist the devil, he's not just talking about being more. He's not just talking about willpower. He's also talking about word power. And here, when they said, why couldn't we fix it? Jesus said this in the book of Matthew. Notice what he says. And he said unto them, it's because of the littleness of your faith. You want to know why you couldn't fix this? It's because of the littleness of your faith. But then he said something, when you read it, it's like, that doesn't make any sense. He said, for truly I say unto you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now hold up, a mustard seed is little. Like if he would have said, if you had faith the size of a mountain, like it's the littleness of your faith. If you had big faith, like a mountain, you could see some neat things. So it's like, well, what do you mean here? You're talking about the littleness of their faith, but then you say you can have little faith. Every theologian agrees that when he says because of the littleness of your faith, he's not talking about the size of the faith in their heart. He's talking about the size of the expression with their mouth. He said because your faith was little in its expression. Because your faith was little in its expression. Because your faith was just small in its expression. You can't see big change with small expression. You can't see big results with small release of faith. He says, if you want big changes, you got to have big expression. And watch what he says here. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, how do you express it, Pastor Joel? I'm glad you asked. Next part. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will do what? Say to what? To this mountain. Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. He said, here's the secret. He said, you got to learn to open your mouth. You got to learn to say it. And he said, not just a little bit, the expression of your faith. It's got to be big. It's got to be large. Well, somebody says, well, what do I say? You talk to the mountain. and your life is your mountain is addiction, you talk to that addiction. You say, I will not be bound by you. Whom Jesus has set free, he is free indeed. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of freedom. I was born free. I will not be bound by you. When temptation comes, it's no, I put my body under. I bring it into subjection. I will not be a castaway. My body does not, I do not obey my body. My body obeys me. I put my body under. If the attack is sickness and disease, you stand up and say, nope, let the weak say I am strong. I'm going to say I'm strong. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. I was redeemed over 2,000 years ago with the stripes on Jesus' back, and by his stripes I am healed. You answer it. You answer it. You answer that addiction. You answer that temptation. Adam and Eve thought about the temptation. Jesus answered it. Who do you want to be more like? Adam and Eve sat there, maybe we should eat it. Jesus sat there and said, nope, I will not tempt the Lord thy God. He stood up and confronted that temptation, confronted that spiritual attack with a spiritual force, and what he used was his words. Jesus didn't show us all these things to be impressive. He showed us all these things to be an example. It's a big difference between someone who's trying to impress you and someone who's trying to teach you. Jesus did this to teach us, and these men recorded it to help us. And friend, I'm telling you, you'll never be truly free just by being intentional. You'll never be truly free just by being purposeful. You'll only be truly free when you learn that the secret to life and death is about 1 inch to 2 inches, depending on how your face is, below your nose. That is your secret to freedom. Life and death is in the power of the tongue, and you will eat the fruit thereof each and every time. If you want to be free, you need to decree a thing, declare a thing. And so at the start of this year, I want you to declare the end from the beginning, where you get up and you talk about by the end of 2018, here's what I'm going to be, and you start listing it as much as you can. Jesus said, you want to know why you didn't see change? It's because of the expression of your faith. You got to make that expression bigger if you want to see big change. I want each and every one of you this year, change starts now, not tomorrow, now. Secondly, I will fast. And not just go without food for a couple of days. For you, food may be easy. PlayStation may be hard. For you, PlayStation, it's like, what is a PlayStation? Like, is it like a new entertainment? What is that? You may not even know what it is. But looking at shopping things on the internet or houses on the internet or Facebook or any, it just consumes you. And for you, it's like, I need to say no to that thing. My no means no. And you put your foot down where you are in control of you and not something else. Because if I can do it with the small stuff, I got a much better chance at doing it with the big. And then lastly, I will not just resist with my willpower. I will resist with my word power and declare freedom and truth and victory over my life with the power of the spoken word. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for each and every person in this room. And Father, I thank you in Jesus' name, whom the Son sets free, is free indeed. Father, I thank you. This house is a freedom house. This house is filled with free people. We will not be bound to addictions. We will not be bound to oppression. We will not be bound to anything in this life. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Father, we thank you. You make all things new. Tomorrow's a new day, new week, new month, a new year. I wonder, Father, how often those things have lined up. The start of a week, start of a day, the start of a year. But Father, we thank you. It's time. It's time for newness. Now, right now, with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around, if you're here today and you say, you know what, Pastor Joel, I need a new start. And it's not just something new on the outside. It's something new on the inside. I know. I need to begin this year right. I need to begin it with Jesus. Maybe you're here and you've never made a decision for Jesus. He loves you so much. There's something pulling on your heart saying, that's you. It's time. You need Jesus. Somebody says, well, how would you even know? Oh, you know. you know, in your heart. His Spirit, the Bible says in Romans 8, will bear witness with your spirit that you're a child of God. And if you're here and you say, that's me, Pastor, like, I know in my heart I'm not. Like, I know in my heart I need Jesus. You can know. Or maybe you're here and you say, you know what, Pastor Joe, I know. Like, I know I'm a Christian. But man, I've messed up this year. I've just hurt myself and I've hurt other people. And I need all things new. I need forgiveness. And I want to start today with a declaration saying, Jesus is Lord. He hasn't been, but he is now. Start the year this way. Here's what's beautiful. Right now, every head is bowed, every eye is closed. No one's looking around. It's just between you and Jesus, you and the Father. And I'm not going to make you make a decision in front of the eyes of all these people, but what I will ask you to do is make a decision before God. And if you're mean business today and you say, I need Jesus, I want a fresh start, before God today, I just want you to lift your hand all over this place. All over this place. Hands going up in every section. Every row almost. Hands going up. Oh, he loves you so much. Freedom is yours. Forgiveness is yours. Now, everybody in this room, pray this prayer with me. Let's just pray it together and just repeat it after me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for Jesus. And I believe 2,000 years ago, he died for me and rose again from the grave. Jesus, you're my Lord. You're my Lord. You're my Lord, Jesus. You're my Savior. And I thank you. My past, it's done. It's washed. I'm clean. You've forgiven me, so I forgive myself. But Father, I thank you. I'm not going back. Today, I hear your voice. I'm not spending one more night with the frogs. Today, Father, I am yours and you are mine. And so, I boldly declare my best days are starting right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us here at Word of Life Church. To hear this message in full as well as others, check out our website at thelife.cc or download the Word of Life Church app. Service happens every Saturday night at 5:30 p.m. and on Sundays at 8:30, 10, 11:30 a.m. and 1 o'clock p.m. Thank you for your support here at Word of Life Church.